It is 11:30 and I am hopefully joined on the line by my guest for today, Tim Fitzhyam. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you. Good to have you there. Now, you're here in Cambridge on Sunday for Sunday Papers Live. First of all, do you know Cambridge? Have you been here before?
Yes, love Cambridge. I was born just down the train line in King's Lynn. So, yes, I know Cambridge very well, yes.
Excellent.
It's a lovely place.
It is a beautiful place. And you're here to talk about your book, All at Sea, One Man, One Bathtub, One Very Bad Idea.
That's true.
What sea and what bathtub then?
Yes, well, I decided to attempt to become the first person in history to row the English Channel in a bathtub. And there are a couple of problems with trying to row the English Channel in a bathtub, which I was not aware of when I thought it up as a good idea. Number one, the English Channel turns out to be the busiest shipping lane in the world, which I was not aware of. There are more frigates and ships and container ships and all sorts of stuff going up and down that tiny stretch of water than any other stretch of water in the world. And I was attempting to row at right angles to the direction of traffic in a third of a ton roll-top Victorian copper bathtub. So essentially it's like trying to drive straight across the M11 riding a snail. That's what I'm essentially trying to achieve. The second problem is that I didn't really know anything about the sea. I'd never really been a sea person. I had no idea what I was doing, and I phoned hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to try and get somebody to teach me remedial sea. And nobody had time to do this. And so finally, in total desperation, I phoned the last people you might expect, the Royal Navy. And by mistake got put through to an admiral at Admiralty Arch. To cut a very long story short, the admiral, which I'll be going into on Sunday, so do come along to hear the rest of it, how they got involved. To cut a long story short, the Royal Navy got involved in the project and decided to back the bathtub project and to attempt to get me to achieve this great feat of maritime navigation, because it is a very tricky stretch of water. It's not just a shipping lane. You know, some of these ships that are going up and down it have got stopping distances of 17 and a half nautical miles, which means that by the time they've seen you and applied the brake, they've already destroyed you. They've already gone through you, and somebody is phoning the undertaker. So it was a very, very dangerous and unlikely thing to attempt in the first place. And of course, the third problem with the English Channel, as I faced it, is that half of it isn't English at all. Half of it is French. And so the French own half of it. And obviously, there has been a previous relationship with the French that is not always as harmonious as we might like. And so I'll be going into how I managed to attempt to row the channel in a bathtub on Sunday. I wrote to the French, in fact, and I said, you know, I'm going to try rowing the English Channel in my bath. And the French were very kind. They were very helpful. They sent me lots of paperwork to look at. But they even went to the extent of going into the Parliament of France and passing a new clause in the Shipping Act of France, making it illegal to row a bathtub in French water. So what essentially they were saying is, specifically, Tim, we have now passed a law that stops you from rowing the channel in a bathtub. And so obviously I then had to work out a way to get round that law, and do come along on Sunday and find out how that happened.
So you've made your mark on French legislation, at least.
Yes, yes, I have. I guess I would be the French equivalent of fox hunting legislation. That's what I'd be. I guess it's something very specific one issue that got debated by the French legislative bodies. It was pretty tricky, I have to say, to get it to happen at all. But the book is a lovely celebration of all that's great about humanity, because in the first attempt, when I tried to get across the channel, I ended up in what sailors like to refer to as a force 7. Which is it's a pretty bad storm. It's 7 out of 10 is the scale. And you get very, very big waves and you get lots of spray, lots of mist. I lost the support boat. It was all looking pretty bleak, I have to say. My arm got cut open quite badly. and I couldn't use one arm, and I was yet still trying to row towards the coast as best as I possibly could in this massive storm. And so it wasn't a great situation to be in lots of ways. But when, of course, I got rescued, it wasn't just boats that came from Great Britain to get me out of the storm. It was ships from all the other nations. It was Holland and Belgium, you know, people really who had no need to get behind this crazy idea of trying to get across the channel in a bathtub, suddenly were backing it. Suddenly it seemed that people wanted this to happen. And that's a really exciting phenomenon. There's something very human about that. And it's a real celebration of something that's inspiring and great in humanity that makes us go, this is impossible, but someone's willing to give it a go. Let's try and make sure that he makes it and doesn't die. So it's a nice celebration of humanity, I think, in a lot of ways.
This sounds terrifying, too. And I'm trying to picture this bathtub. Literally, was it a bathtub?
Yes, it was. It was a roll-top Victorian copper bathtub. And I was trying to get somebody to sponsor it, and because I ended up training with the Great British Olympic squad with Sir Matthew Pinsent and James Cracknell and the others, they said, try and get a sponsor, Tim, get someone to sponsor it. And I phoned hundreds of companies to try and get somebody to sponsor my bathtub channel crossing, and nobody would get behind it, to cut a long story short, until finally one company did phone me back and said, Tim, we are going to absolutely back this bathtub project. And the company, that the top name level company that did get behind it, were Thomas Crapper and Company. So the bathtub that was very brilliantly donated to me to row was a roll-top Victorian copper Thomas Crapper bathtub. So it was a pretty fantastic bit of kit to try and get across the channel, and I have to say.
But this must have been adapted, wasn't it? Or was it just literally
on
a bench?
It was. The part of the story that enabled me to give it a crack is to get round the French legislation, initially I just had a bathtub and I was rowing up and down in that, and it was fine and it would have been okay. But obviously then the French passed a law outlawing bathtub rowing. So I then had to go to the Ministry of Transport and get the bath registered as a registered British ship. So it then had to go on the register at Lloyd's. I had to be made a captain of a British shipping vessel. And the Ministry of Transport were prepared to go quite far in allowing me to keep it as a bath with no adaption. But their exact phrase, in fact, was, Tim, we are prepared to look a little silly, but not downright stupid. So you do need to make sure that bath is seaworthy to the levels that we require it to be to pass it off on the shipping register. So it had to have, then there entered this phase of me trying to negotiate to keep the bath as stripped down as possible, but also get it on the shipping register. And so there was this discussion that went on about, you know, oh, you've got to have an electrical cabinet. You've got to have a sealed cabinet somewhere in that bath for the electrics, because there's quite a lot of electrics that you need for the lights. And it's got to have backup emergency power in case the initial power goes down, which all of which makes it more heavy and weighty, which is not helpful. And so I got a washstand. A bathroom wash cabinet, and just bolted it onto the back of the bath and sealed that and put the electrics inside that. And they then said, well, you've got to have a masthead. Every single ship has a masthead. And I said, well, I'm not going to have a masthead, but I will have a shower head. And so they said, that's fine, you can have a shower head. And then they said, you've got to fly the Red Ensign flag, Tim. That's a British shipping flag. You've got to fly that. And the shipping ministry guy said, you'll be making that out of cowling, I assume. And I said, no, don't be ridiculous. We'll fly the flag. So there was this sort of trade-off between me desperately trying to keep it just to be a bath and the Ministry of Transport trying to be responsible and try and get me to do things like have a showerhead. So that's what we ended up with. We ended up with a sort of a bathtub with a shower head and a washstand bolted onto it. And then it had, like on a rowing aid, it had outriggers, I think they call them, just to assist with the stability of the vessel.
And as you say, it's a busy traffic lane. It's notoriously choppy as well, the English Channel. Yeah. I mean, this physically is quite demanding.
Yeah, everybody did say it's not possible, and they were very close to being right. I mean, it's a very, very difficult stretch of water. They call it one of the great challenges of ocean rowing, and it's not because of the distance, it's because you can't stop. You mustn't have a break. You've got to keep going. And the heavier your vessel, the heavier the thing you're trying it in, the harder it becomes until it becomes impossible. And nobody's tried it in something a third of a ton before, and everybody was fairly convinced that that would not work. I just had to get really, really fit and to try and give it the best shot I could. And it's a really difficult stretch of water because the current doesn't let up. And if you miss that tiny bit of coastline in France, if you miss Cap Grenet, that tiny little pointy bit, then you've lost it. You know, you get swept down into the Bay of Biscay, or you get taken up into Reykjavik. So, you know, you've really got to get it right, or you don't stand a chance at all. So it is a really tricky challenge, and it's a challenge that anybody who swims the channel or rows the channel or has a crack at going across it in a high-powered jet ski or whatever else it is, it's a really, really difficult challenge, and it shouldn't be underestimated. But of course, my mission was to row the channel in a bathtub, and I thought somebody would have done it. I thought it was an English thing that somebody did, and it was an urban myth that you would read about in the newspapers. Oh, it's as eccentric as the guy who rowed the channel in a bathtub. And the more I looked at this, the more I thought, actually, no one's done it. There isn't anyone that's rowed the channel in a bathtub. This urban myth isn't true. And then I thought, well, somebody's got to do it, and obviously, clearly, then the only person that, you know, would have a crack at it was me. So it's quite nice now, because you see still used in newspapers, it's as eccentric as the guy that wrote the channel in a bar. And I can now read that and go, well, that was me, that was.
And we're not going to give away any spoilers as to what happened, but partly because you'll be talking about this, as you say, at Sunday Papers Live, at part of the Festival of Ideas at the Cambridge Union on Sunday from midday. And you've also written about it in your book, All at Sea, One Man, One Bathtub, One Very Bad Idea, which is published by Preface Publishing. So what next for you, Tim?
I've been constantly doing these projects. It's been such a joy, because I started doing them I started doing them before I did the bathtub project, and I broke a record in a paper boat, which I took the longest distance travelled in a boat made out of paper, and I blew up the world's largest balloon, which was me just puffing into a balloon for hours on end. And I've done all sorts of things like that, and then it led to people saying, actually, do you want to do another one? Can we help you to do another one? I said, yes, brilliant, let's do this. So the ideas just kept rolling forward and have led to all sorts of extraordinary and fantastic things. You know, I've been able to climb up the outside of the world's tallest buildings, and I've been able to dangle over the edge of the Grand Canyon, balancing on one leg, or, you know, trying to do a handstand. All sorts of crazy things that I've been enabled to do from having these ideas and following them through with the relentless enthusiasm of a five-year-old. That's what I've always tried to do, is I love children. I think children are amazing, brilliant things, and they're beings, and they will, you know, one day, of course, they will take over the world naturally because they'll grow up. But their best moments are when they're five and when they're six and when they're four. When children don't have any concept of what's possible, they haven't been bored to death by people saying that they can't do that, that's not possible, and they just follow through those ideas with absolutely relentless enthusiasm. And I've never lost that. Go for an idea, don't give in, keep going, and keep having a crack at it. Keep smiling, and it will succeed. And that really is the sort of approach that I've taken to every single thing I've tried. Whether it's been, you know, there was one where I tried to achieve 25 miles an hour across water using only technology available in 1765 to try and recreate a challenge that was undertaken in 1765. Now, obviously, in 1765 it failed, but we managed to achieve that. You know, and there's so many different things I've been able to do like that. So it's been joyful, really. I got to make a series for Radio 4, BBC Radio 4, which is still available on the iTunes, which is called The Gambler. And that was a series where I took on lots and lots of famous bets in history and tried to win those bets. You know, things like rolling a cheese board 4.5 miles across country, racing a racehorse in a 100-yard dash, pulling a £1 weight on the end of a rope 1 mile across country in under 1 hour. There's all sorts of brilliant bets that I was able to take on that again gave me these brilliant experiences of doing these challenges and trying to see them through. So it's been a really, really wonderful set of experiences, I have to say.
Oh, well, lovely to talk to you, Tim. I hope you enjoy your time in Cambridge and the yes. Sunday papers live. Start time again, it's midday to 5:30. And if you want to yes. book tickets, festivalofideas.cam.ac.uk. Lovely to talk to you, Tim. Thank you very
much. Lovely to talk to you. Hopefully see you Sunday. Take care.
Yes, season. Bye.